Our great God, we thank you that we've reached this time when our souls are longing to hear from you through your word. Teach your word to us, which is the only food for our souls, for our inner man. Use us this morning, O Lord, to edify your saints and challenge the sinners in our midst. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Can I have your seat? Good morning. Yeah, once again, our visitors, you are most welcome to Reconciliation Baptist Church.
Again, you are free to run visit to RBC.
And our old members, you are all most welcome. As we continue our message from last Sunday, where God is calling you to not be discouraged. We are still looking at the journey of Paul and the team from Caesarea to Rome. And we see how Paul gave them an advice, but they did not listen to it. They decided to sail in a dangerous period of time. And now they are being tossed to and fro with the storms. And people are discouraged, knowing that they are going to die. And it's amazing to see that even Paul is together with them, but is being used to encourage them. So here also, God is calling you to not be discouraged, knowing that all of us together are going through the storms of life. They are many. We begin with these storms when we first come into this world until we leave it. And you won't avoid them, whether you get saved or not. Those who tell you or preach to you that once you get saved, you forget all these storms, they deceive you in capital letters. Because our Lord Jesus Christ himself went through them, and he promised them to us. So I told you last Sunday that the only stronghold in these storms is the promises of God. All of us, as you see us, all of us here go through the same storms. Don't think that it's you alone. But you wonder, how come these others are just jolly? Because they have hope in the Lord. They stand on the promises of God. But you don't stand on those promises. That's why these storms put you, they really put you down seriously. We also learned that people make mistakes. But you don't need to keep repeating, reminding them those mistakes. They are gone. Like Paul, remind them once that you were warned by preachers, but you did not heed their warning. Now you are suffering with sin. But don't lose heart. He is ready to save you. Cry to him. We also say that you need to be very careful to be equating whatever comes into your mind with the voice or the word of God. So Paul continues with his ministry of encouragement. And we are now in verse 27. And the Bible says, when the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So now, this is the 14th night since they left Fair Haven. You can't imagine 2 full weeks in the midst of terrible storms, day and night, and they're now in the Adriatic Sea. Yeah, this is the north southern part of the Mediterranean that they call Adriatic Sea. It lies between Greece and Italy, in between there. So they are still being tossed to and fro. Just the way you are being tossed in this life to and fro from various storms. And as they are just in that situation, about midnight, the sailors suspected something. That they are nearing some land. That was good news to them. How did they suspect that? No doubt from the peculiar sound of the breakers. Yeah, what are the... Yes, the breakers, it's a wave that breaks into foam against something. You see, those who, like some of us who at least have been near lakes or at the oceans, you can, you know, even when you go to Lake Victoria, you see a wave comes very huge from far, but when it reaches the shore, it breaks with some sound, and you see some form of likeness of foam. So that's what they call a breaker. Yeah, so when it is coming, it does not make sound, but when it breaks into foam, and that cannot happen if these breakers do not come across some land. Sandbank or rock. So now, when they started hearing the breakers, immediately they knew that there should be something, at least physical, maybe the shore or a rock near us. And what did they do? Verse 28 says, so they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. Yes, okay. Yeah, there are some technical words that you need to read direct from the Luganda Bible. So to take the sounding, let me just explain it, what they did. They measured the depth of the water. Yeah, that's what they call to take the sounding. How do they do it? They get some form of a rope or a chain, something, and then they tie some heavy thing here, and then they throw it into water. Yeah, that will help them know the depth of water. So when they heard the breakers roar, they said, no, we should be near something, maybe a rock or sandbank or a shore. And when they took sounding, when they measured the depth of water, the first time they found 20 fathom. What fathom is the? It's a unit of measuring for measuring the depth of water. Yes, it's called fathom. And one fathom is about 2 meters. So now, when they measured and found 20 fathoms, those were 40 meters. And really, that was close to the shore. They measured the second time only after a while, and they found 15 fathoms or 30 meters. Yeah, so now, after finding, a little further on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. These are 30 meters. 29. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. After hearing the sound of the breakers, then they said, either we are near a shore or a rock. Now, fearing that they should not go and hit into a rock, they decided to put some anchors underwater. They did it from the stern or from the back of the ship. Yeah, because the anchors will hold the ship from not hitting too much on the rock. And they prayed for the day to come. Not that they started, because you can ask yourself, were they Christians? No. Here simply means they hoped, hoping, they say, I wish, or wishing, yes, for the day to come. Because this was midnight. They did not want to hit the rock in the darkness. So they wish that the dawn could come. In verse 30, and as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow. What's happening here? You remember this small boat that they served from behind inside the ship, so that in case of any danger, it could save their life. But ask yourself, the boat that is talked about here is only one, and that the ship had 276 people. Now, Paul had faith in his God. But the people with him in the ship did not have the same faith. Much as he had told them that the angel of the God I serve came this night and told me A, B, C. That none of you is going to die. But still the sailors had not trusted him. They did not believe in the God he serves. After hearing that no one is going to die, they relaxed a bit. But after learning that they are nearing some land or some rock, they panicked and they started planning to escape. Yeah, these are the sailors or the captains of the ship, those that move it. You know, remember they had already put underwater some anchors from behind. And now they are pretending that they want to go also and put underwater the anchors from the bow or from the front. And then they get that small ship, small boat, sorry, safety boat, and they put it in water, and they are ready to enter it, and then cut the rope so that they go to that shore. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Only Paul knew their trick or discovered their trick. How did he know that? No answer. Some people say the Lord might have told him. But the truth is that Paul was a sailor. He had been in those trips in the Mediterranean for many, many years. So at least he suspected something. And again, people say that this was not the first time for Paul to be under such circumstances. In other words, he knew exactly what was supposed to be done. So the centurion and other people in the ship had believed the captains, thinking that they are doing whatever they can do to save them, to save others. Yet they are being cowards. They thought about themselves at the mercy of all those other people. As you go through the storms of life with other people, don't think about yourself. Instead, work together, encourage one another. Especially here, I'm talking about the saints, those who are already born again. Don't be selfish. Think about others. And now Paul tells the centurion, who was leading them with all those soldiers, he was their leader. Say, these guys are planning to escape using that lifeboat. Unless they remain here, you will not survive. And again, you can pause here. Those of you who you go into depth when you are reading your Bible, you might wonder, what's wrong with Paul here? Remember, he has already told them that the angel of God told me that none of you is going to die. But what is this is talking about here again? If these don't remain here, you will not survive. You will not be saved. Does he mean that God cannot save them even if those captains are not inside the ship? It's not that Paul was doubting God. No. I'll prove to you in a moment. This is what we call God's sovereignty on one side and man's responsibility on the other side. Many of you here believe in God's sovereignty of God. What does that mean for those of you who are hearing this for the very first time? That simply means that God is under control of each and every situation in this life. In any life, everywhere, even the falling down of a sparrow, God knows. He allows each and every situation, whether good or evil. And this is why we say no to prosperity preachers who put down the sovereignty of God and teach that you will be a child of God only if You are seeing positive things in your life. God cannot be in your negative side of life. God does not want you to be sick or poor or to fail anything in any way. When you go to seek visa to go anywhere, they cannot reject you. That's wrong. God is sovereign. And whatever comes your way, God allows for his reasons. And in most cases, for your good. So unfortunately, some people also who believe in the sovereignty of God want to take it to the extreme. Because God is in charge of my life, so you want to live carelessly. You want to drive your car 100 per hour while closing your eyes, you'll die. So you need to take measure. So you know very well that this ship is being moved by these captains. They are the ones who know the tricks, what they should do so that the ship does not hit too hard on the rock. Whether it should hit the rock or not, that's not a question. Because Paul had already told them from what God had told him in verse 26. This is part of what the angel of God had told Paul that night. Verse 26, but we must run aground on some island. That's a must. We'll hit there. Yes, strong. So everyone already, Paul had told them that we must hit hard on an island. But still, the captains might have done something at least to reduce on that effect. Just try to imagine you sit in a plane and you have four pilots inside on board. Then they just decide to put on their parachutes and just leave you alone there. Yes, the plane will continue under what they call, I don't know, automatic or whatever, it moves it. But how are you going to land? None of you knows anything on what you can do, where you can touch so that you land. So you see automatically that your lives become a danger at stake if those experts leave the engine or the ship. Yeah, so much as Paul knew very well that none of them is going to die because his God had told him. But those experts had to remain on board to fight together on how to land this ship on that island. You want to prove to me that Paul did not doubt his God? Verse 34 tells us so. Because in verse 34 he says, therefore I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. He repeats again what his God had told him. So you can see there's no contradiction here. Paul has not doubted his God in any way. He says, not only that you will not die, but not even a hair will come out of your head. Yeah, so now, when the centurion heard that, in verse 32, then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. You know, it was still tied on this rope. The captains had not cut the rope yet. And they had not even entered the boat. But they had put it already in water. So now the soldiers, maybe under the order of the centurion, cut the rope and the boat just went along. Now, what you notice here is something new. The Lord has made Paul the leader in the ship, not even the centurion. It is at first it was the centurion and maybe the owner of the ship who used to give orders. You remember when Paul gave them counsel not to sail, asking them to at least be for some time at fair havens? Did they listen to him? Look at this nobody. At that time they saw the centurion as higher than him, the owner of the ship higher than Paul. But things have changed. Paul is now in control because of his God. Now when he speaks, they listen. Where is the voice of the ship's owner? Whatever Paul says, they have to obey immediately. If these people leave, you will not be saved. And immediately they listen to his voice and they cut the ropes. It's very beautiful to serve the Lord. Even those who despise you, tomorrow they'll see that at least even our presidents, I wish I followed the voices of church leaders. So now in verse 33, as day was about to dawn, Paul urged them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food." Now, Paul continues with his ministry of encouragement. And now it's dawning. They are now seeing clearly. And he comes up again. "This is the 14th day you are not eating well. Because of fear." Obviously, few people die while eating. They are there, but few. One of the things that really disappear first is the appetite for food. Even the food that you don't want to share with your friends, with your neighbors. "I like chicken so much." When a visitor visits you, you say, "No, first wait until he goes and then you put food on the table." When you're about to die, when you are sick, you don't eat those. So these people knew that they were going to die. Even if you were there, where would you have gotten the appetite from? But now Paul feels that even their life, physical life, is at stake. Because remember, they are still fighting. They still need to throw other cargo into the sea. Now he encourages them to eat some food. Be encouraging others. Even if you remember, not that Paul is somewhere at a shore. He is with them in the same ship. They are going through the same problems, the same storm, but he's forgetting that what is going through himself and try to think about encouraging others. Christians who think about themselves, you need to pray that the Lord will helps you more. I know we all go through a lot of storms of life. the storm of lack. Take time to be asking your brothers and sisters how they are faring. You jump into a taxi every Sunday to come to RBC to worship. Your many brothers and sisters just walk miles. They feel maybe ashamed to come and tell that problem to you. Ask them. From here you will go and enjoy lunch and supper. Maybe your brother and sister does not know where to go and begin from. Encourage them and help them if you can. That's Christianity. The Christianity that stops at the lips is not Christianity. How many people have we broken their hearts? Even sinners. The way we go to proclaim the gospel to them, sometimes it's not there. Eat some food, please. Eat some food. So he says, this is the 14th day that you have not continued, you have continued in suspense and without food. 34, therefore I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from your head. So you say again, it's the fear of death that is preventing, stopping them from eating food. We are not in that ship, but we are in the same ship of life, in the same storms, and we are not eating food. Where are you going to get the strength to take you through the storm from? Pastor Bill, what are you talking about? I eat fish every day at my home. That situation and ours are different. We are going through spiritual storms. And you need spiritual food. Even some of you who are Christians already, you don't eat God's food. We are composed of two. The spiritual part and the physical part. This physical part, you need to feed it well to look nice. It feeds on eggs and milk, on fish and chicken. Delicious fruits, but all of them put together, they do nothing to your inner man. Nothing. If you are rich and you eat well at your home, that contributes nothing, not even a dot, to your inner man's welfare. While the outer man has got, needs a lot of food to look healthy, your inner man, who is your true you, does not have two foods. He has only one. God's word. It's only when you read or study God's word when you are feeding him or her. And God is telling you, in the words of Paul, it has been long without you eating food. That is not healthy for you. Eat food, please. I urge you. I beg you, eat food. Spare some time every day for this food. Don't waste your life. You You don't have time for this because of many things. Your businesses, your jobs, your studies. And you don't have time to eat food. It is to beg you. Even those of you who are not yet born again, life is found here. Just be going there every day. Pray to him to open your eyes to see the wonders that come from this book. How can you go through storms hungry? Where will you get strength to take you through them? Even the promises of God that we talk about, that are making some people thrive or do well in through these storms, you find them in his written word. So now in verse 35, he says, and when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Do you want also to have the ministry of encouragement like Paul? Set an example. You cannot encourage others on what you don't do yourself. And this is what makes the Christian life very difficult without the help of God. Those of you who want to be preachers, I wish we could exchange with you, that I'd be seated where you sit every Sunday, and you'll be coming here every Sunday. To try to live whatever you say is not easy without the help of God. After advising them, he shows them an example. And he takes bread. Some preachers here say that it was the Lord's table. No, it was not. It was just no more food. Remember what is at the back of Paul's mind is he wants to introduce his God to these heathens, pagans. That's why when he was reporting to them of what the angel told him from God, he was specific. He wanted them to know that these words did not come from the angel, but they came from the God I serve, the God who owns me. And here again, he takes that bread. He does not start eating the way some of you do. He gives thanks. And the Bible is clear here, in the presence of all, he wanted them to see that there is a God in the heavens who provides everything. You need to recognize him in whatever you go through. And I remember in my class of Islam at the seminary, our lecturer was in Turkey. Our lecturer was living in Turkey, the country that is 99% Muslim. And he was giving us some of the tricks to evangelize the Muslims. One of them, love them. Don't make them your enemies, bring them closer. Invite them to have dinner with them at your home. And when after, before you eat, pray before them in their presence. In the name of Jesus. So you are inserting something inside them. This is what Paul did here. And after giving thanks, he took bread. So he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. He broke it and began to eat himself. You will not manage the ministry of encouragement if you are not living what you are telling people yourself. Today you tell someone who is threatened by a certain storm of life, don't fear, the Lord promised us that he will never abandon us. Tomorrow the same happens to you, and that person finds you shaking. Where is the hope you are giving me yesterday? So when he started eating, they followed. As we see in verse 36, then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. Now you see now how they are following Paul. Whatever he does, they do. Whatever he says, they follow. Why? What has Paul done in this ship? Nothing. Apart from just being faithful to his God and not showing that he fears. Be serious with your God. He will vindicate you. Immediately they ate food because of Paul's encouragement. I enjoyed so much the teachings in the Sunday school today. So much. If we can follow that, it will help us. Especially the singles, brothers and sisters who are single at Arby's. Verse 37. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. Those were many people. This was a huge ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Remember, they are still preparing themselves to their landing. Horrible landing. They know that the landing will not be smooth, because God who does not lie has said so. So now they are lightening the ship. Now they are doing it with one spirit. And they are now strong to do it, because they have eaten some food. What they have not done for 2 weeks. And next week we'll see the shipwreck. And the ship that you and me are in, this world, is about to wreck. We are approaching shipwreck. But you don't see it. And you are still busy looking for wealth. You want to be rich. The ship is about to wreck. And unfortunately, many people don't follow news. You tremble. What's going on in Uganda? It's going on everywhere in the world. Homosexuality in secondary schools in Kenya, primary schools in Kenya. How are you going to survive? I want to leave you with these words that you've just sung. You've just sung them. Jesus, save your pilot me. He is the best captain. Who will not try to use the lifeboat to leave you alone in the ship that's going to wreck? You should be the ones to tell these words to Jesus today. Tell him, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over a large tempestuous sea. You thought that I was the one telling you that we are living in a stormy world or sea? Unknown waves before me roll. They're rolling before me. Hiding rock and treasure shore. Chart and compass come from you. Jesus, Savior, pilot me, please. If you ask him, if you pray this prayer to him, he will come to your rescue. Because you're alone in the ship that is going to wreck. But some here are with Jesus. And he is piloting them. Verse 2 says, as a mother steals her child, you can hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey your will. Even if they are big like Mount Rwenzori. When he tells them still, they still they be quiet. Boisterous waves obey your will when you say to them, be still. Nothing is harder to God. The Bible tells us that what is impossible with men is possible with God. Boisterous waves obey your will when you say to them, be still, stop. Wondrous sovereign of the sea. Jesus, Savior, pilot me in this sea. The sea is yours. The tempest is yours. The waves are yours. Please pilot me. Lastly, he says, when at last I near the shore, as Paul and his friends are nearing the shore, what is your shore? Where is it? It's when you breathe your last. Or when he comes back for us all. But we don't know when he's becoming for us all. Anytime. But I can breathe my last this afternoon. You can this afternoon, my friend. He says, when at last I near the shore, I come near, close to the shore. And the fearful breakers roar. You remember what I told you and explained what is the breaker? It's a heavy, a huge wave when it comes at the shore and it breaks into foam. It comes with some amazing voice. And says, when at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar, twisting me and the peaceful rest. Then, when leaning on your breast, May I hear you say to me, fear not, I will pilot you. Fear not, I will pilot you. This is treasure that you sing every Sunday here. But here some of you say, those songs are boring. You want those short choruses that say nothing to please yourself. Go home and say this prayer. Repeat it to Christ. Paul ended his trip, his journey to Rome. Even his journey in this world, he ended it many years ago. It's you and me who are still in this. Tell him he will pilot you. He cannot pilot you if he does not know you. You who are not yet saved, cry to him to save your life. Only then he will pilot you. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this word. Allow it to have a place in our hearts. May you continue teaching us many lessons through this journey. As we ponder upon our own journey to the celestial city, from this sea full of storms and tempests, we plead that you pilot your saints, O Lord, as you do. Please continue piloting them and save those who are still far from you, so that they can enter your ship and you pilot them well. Because we are nearing the shore and this ship is about to wreck. Please pilot us, Lord. Amen.